Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everybody, thanks for hopping on the latest edition of Gun on One. It is powered by Patterson Square Garden. I'm Derek Gunn. Well, Monday night, national stage, NFC East, big rivalry, Eagles, Cowboys. The first time these two have met in Dallas on a Monday night since 2008. First place on the line. You're expecting a head-knocking backyard brawl. Well, one team showed up, that's for sure. The other team, I don't know what happened. But for this podcast, I'm bringing in a guy who knows what it's like to be a part of an Eagles-Cowboys rivalry, and he won his fair share of those rivalries as well. You know him as the Axeman, Jeremiah Trotter. What's up, JT?
What's up, D-Gon? How you feeling, man?
Good, man. Now, I know you watched this mess on Monday night, and in a broad spectrum, after you watched that game, tell me what you were thinking.
Man, I tweeted out last night somewhere in the first quarter, man, we getting gutted. And, man, they was gutting our defense, you know, up and down the field, 7-8 yards a pop. And there was really nothing the Eagles front seven, front eight could do about it.
Now, I know you're from originally the state of Texas, spent right. Bulk of your career with the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, just between me and you, do you root for the Cowboys or the Eagles? Now, be honest now.
Man, come on, man. I hate Dallas. I mean, I've made it public that growing up I was a Dallas fan. The old Dallas teams, yep. Aikman and Emmitt and all those guys. But man, listen, you can't play for the Eagles and like Dallas. That just it just don't go together. Like the movie, that's like Flags and Stripes. that's like good and evil, bad and right. Nah, man, you can't do that. Nah, man, I hate Dallas, man. The fans, every time they win a couple games, they go into the Super Bowl, all that nonsense. So, you know, I was expecting a really good game. You know, I knew it was going to be tough for the Eagles to beat them because Cowboys have a really high-powered offense. They got their quarterback back. He was playing good at the beginning of the season. Even with the loss against Tampa, he played very well. But I didn't expect the defensive front seven to get gutted. We knew going into the season that the secondary and linebackers were two of the weak points on the team. But I didn't expect us to get gutted like that.
You know, Trot, in looking at the game a second time, the one thing I noticed that really opened up things for the Cowboys at a running game is that guards were pulling, they were trapping them up the middle. And at some point, don't you have to make necessary adjustments? And where's the linebackers coming up to fill the holes in this situation?
Well, they were definitely getting bodies on the second level. And my theory is when they're able to get bodies on the second level, you expect your defensive line to whoop one-on-ones and stuff like that. I really didn't see anybody in the front eight do anything to deter those guys from running off 7-8 yards a pop. Anybody. Nobody showed up. And then when they did do play action, You know, it was wide open down the field. But that's what happens when you run the ball well, you're dominant, you control the line of scrimmage. It opens up everything else.
You know, when you played, you had a bunch of guys with you on defense that took pride in playing that run defense. And occasionally, you had the occasional bad games where, you know, a team just got you. But when that thing is starting to spiral out of control like that, you being one of the leaders on the defense, what do you say to your teammates on the sideline at any given point?
Man, just keep fighting, man. Keep fighting. Somebody got to make a play. Somebody got to get off the block. Coaches are not going to always coach you in the perfect – put you in the perfect defense to make plays. Sometimes you just got to win battles. That's what stopping the run comes down to, is the mentality. I'm going to whoop the man in front of me. I'm going to get off a block and make a play. I didn't see anybody getting off any blocks. I mean, I think the two safeties probably led the team in tackles last night.
You know, the Atlanta Falcons, their first two series, they ran like 29 plays on this defense. The Eagles figured out a way to shut it down. The second game against the 49ers, 49ers having success in sustaining drives. Now, this is three games where teams have been able to put together long drives, 7, 8, 9 minute drives on this defense. When you look at this personnel on this Eagles defense, can it play better? Can it get better? I mean, Javon Hargrave, Fletcher Cox show up, but you never know who's going to show up beyond it. Can they play better? Or is this just it? We're just going to have to bite our tongues and endure it for a whole season.
I mean, at this point, the roster is not going to change much. So you have what you have. I don't see them playing any better. You know, I don't see it. I don't see them playing any better, man. I think, you know, you got to get off field on third down. They got in from third and mid range. You know, it's tough in the NFL to get third and long. Offenses always try to stay ahead of the chains, right? That's the only way you can be successful, get to third and five, third and four. And they were just hitting those short passes, man, over the middle, tight ends just hooking up, running back out of the backfield hooking up, or hitting a curl route or slant route to the receivers. They have to be a little bit more aggressive on those short routes, especially on third and short, because you have to get off the field. You can't allow offense to just continue to sustain drives. And then you have the jumping off size penalty. They went from a 3rd and 8 to a 3rd and 3. Man, it was just a bad day all around. I mean, the leading the league in penalties on offense. You can't sustain drives beating yourself. Teams are too good. That may work in college or high school. You can overcome that. But in the NFL, it's hard to overcome penalties, you know.
You ever play for a team that had double-digit penalties week in and week out?
I can't recall. I think maybe my rookie year, not my rookie year, my second year in the NFL, which was Andy Reid's first year. I remember the offense being really bad. I don't know how many penalties they got, but they did lead the NFL in giveaways that year. And we led the league in takeaways. And I think by the end of the year, we were -4. So they gave the ball up more than we took away. And we led the league in takeaways. So, you know, I understand being on a defense where, I mean, being on a team where, the offense is struggling the way it's struggling. So, and I think they'll get those things cleaned up. You know, it just surprised me that Dallas defense, I didn't think they took advantage of a defense that hasn't been very good over the last 2 or 3 years.
So it went from great the first game, mediocre the second game, to real bad the third game. Do you as players, as leaders on the team, is this a point where you need to call like a team meeting, just players only, to discuss some things, or are we jumping the gun too soon?
I mean, we're on a few weeks in. At some point, they need to have some type of player-led meeting and just try to get the guys refocused, focus on your job, put in extra time. You got to put in extra time, practice habits, because this thing just didn't start. You know, I think the way you practice carries over into the games. So guys need to just really focus on their job, and they got to cut the penalties out. No matter how many good plays you make, you know, and you get behind the chains, whether it's holding, and those holding calls, man, they're a drive killer. That's the one thing. To the two things that kill offensive drives are holding and turnovers. Yeah, those two things you can't have. You know, you can recover from, you know, a false start or something like that. But those holding penalties, man, they kill you. So, you know, they gotta right the ship. You know, they can't focus on what's going on outside the locker room. Just got to focus on them and just keep working and hopefully get this thing turned around.
You know, you just mentioned the offense, and I had said on a platform I was on Monday night, I said, I can't remember high school, college, or the pro level, either playing in a game or watching a game where only three running plays were called an entire game. Now, technically, they ran the ball 12 times, but the quarterback ran the ball 9 times.
Right.
They had three running plays called to the running backs. Have you ever been a part of a team like that where you've only seen three running plays called the entire game?
Nah, man, you got to run the football. And especially just the Cowboys, you know, they've struggled. You have to take advantage of a team's weakness, and teams have been able to take advantage of the line of scrimmage and running the football against that defense over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. Right. It's the reason why they went out and took Parsons high in the first round. Because they trying to, you know, stiffen up that defense. So we didn't take advantage there. You know, a lot of people want to point the blame at Jalen. Now, I know he only threw the one ball. He had the other pick. But he had some very good plays in the game. When he did make good plays, it was a penalty that negated it. So, and you have to remember, he's still young. I'm not sure how many games he started last year, maybe 4, maybe 5
Four.
Games.
Four games
last year.
Yeah.
So he's still a rookie. He's still a rookie, going to make rookie mistakes that he's going to learn from. But I like what he brings to the table. He gives you a chance to win. I would like to see him, you know, when nothing's there, just take off. Use your God-given ability to be able to run the ball and, you know, make one guy miss. You know, I think sometimes he tries to hang on as long as possible to waiting for somebody to come open. And while he's waiting for that person to come open, the defense that's chasing him is getting closer and closer and closer. So, you know, I would say just make a quicker decision. All right, he's not open. All right, let me see what I can get, you know, so I can stay ahead of the chains. And everybody isn't blessed with his ability to be able to run the football. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson or anything like that, but he's definitely a guy that can hurt you against, you know, the pass rush, which if he take off a couple times, that's going to slow that pass rush down also. Those D linemen are not just going to be pinning their ears back and just sprinting up the field like they were doing.
See, people want to chastise him, and let's face it, this is Philadelphia.
Right.
But the kid is four games in Doug Peterson's system, three games in Nick Sirianni's system.
Right.
He's still evolving as a professional athlete.
Right.
And he's had a crash course in two different systems in less than a year. Right. So I know a lot of people are down on him, but I think we have to give him a little bit more time in terms of developing. You agree?
No doubt. You have to, man. I mean, like you said, he's only, what, 7 games into his NFL
career? 7 games, yeah.
7 games into his NFL career. Two different offensive coordinators, two different systems. And, you know, everybody want him to come out and be the savior. Yo, he got to give him time. Yeah. That's when you got to have, you know, run the football, you know, quick passes, screen passes. I've seen like they've done a good job of trying to get the ball out quick. But you definitely got to run the football. And you can't have those penalties. Yep. You can't have those penalties, man. That kills drives. It kills your momentum. And it can't help the mentality of a young quarterback either.
What do you think about the you-rah-rah approach of Nick Sirianni? You know, he's his player's coach. He's wearing T-shirts, beat Dallas. He wears T-shirts of his players' numbers and stuff like that. What do you think about his approach to the NFL game as a head coach now compared to being an assistant coach?
I love it. I love it, man. You know, I think you need more player coaches in the NFL. He support his guys wearing their T-shirts. Seems like he's very approachable because every coach is not like that. Every coach is not approachable. You know, when you do sometimes the old school coaches, when you do talk to them, it's just about football. It's nothing on a personal level. So I can appreciate what he's doing and the relationships he's trying to build with his team. And when you do that, man, guys are led on the line for you, you know. And he just – listen, it's his first year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you – 9 times out of 10, when you hire a new coach, you're coming off a very bad year. If not, you wouldn't hire a new coach, right? So it's going to take some time for him to adjust, get his players to adjust his system. You got a young quarterback. He's got to stay positive with him, you know, continue to build around him. And you just hope the veteran guys can step up and play, you know, at a higher level.
As you sat back and watched this game as a fan and a former NFL player, were you second-guessing a lot of Sirianni's play calling as well? Were you saying, what the heck is he doing here?
No, I mean, they took shots deep. I would like to see him run the ball, obviously, more, especially, you know, Sanders has been running the ball very well. I think he's very productive. I think what he averaged per carry, 4 or 5 yards per carry?
I don't know. Because he had the one run for 24 yards, so he had 2 carries for 27 yards.
Right.
So he was averaging almost –
that took his average up.
Yeah, so he was averaging almost 14 yards a carry over two carries.
So, yeah, man, you gotta take the pressure off of the quarterback. You gotta stay ahead of the chains, I said earlier, especially for a young quarterback. I think, you know, one of your linemen went down. When it's third, it's tough on defense coordinators when he's looking at 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3, and even 3rd and 5. But if you're sitting in, you know, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 14, you don't have a lot of plays on 3rd down for those type of yardage, especially when the defensive lineman is pinning their ears back. Even if you do run a draw, if it's 3rd and 9, they give up 7 yards. They don't care about 7 yards. They're going to be off the field anyway. So, but they're going to pin their ears back, man, and just come after the quarterback. That's why I said earlier, I think Jalen needs to drop back, go 1, 2, 1 read, 2 reads. If it ain't there, just take off. That slows that pass rush down. That keeps those guys in their rush lanes. And it's going to help the offensive linemen stay in front of them. And then when you do that, now you can kind of sit back there patiently and go through all your reads and make those deep throws.
So now this team is licking its wounds. It was embarrassed on Monday night, national television. Now you have a short week, and you're about to face a ticked-off Kansas City team, because I guarantee you Spagnuolo is going to have that defense ready to play come this Sunday. So you being on the receiving end of a butt-whipping like the Eagles just got, what's the battle cry all week long, getting ready for an even more formidable opponent on a short week?
I think it should be just back to the drawing board. Just going back to the basics. Let's get better at the basic fundamentals of football, running, tackling, not shooting yourself in the foot, and just everyone playing together, playing aggressive. Aggressive, controlled football. Now, we all know what Kansas City offense can do. They're one of the most higher-powered offenses in the National Football League for the last 4 or 5 years. But their defense is susceptible to getting points put up on them. So our defense has come to play, one. But our offense definitely has to take advantage of a defense that has some holes in it. That defense, they want to get you behind the chains and then pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. So we have to run the football, 2, run the football, and 3, run the football.
Hey, look, now you know Spagnuolo. So right. Take me inside Spagnuolo's mind in terms of what he's telling his defense about preparing for what he saw this Eagles offense look like on a Monday night.
Well, if he took any pages out of Jim Johnson's book, he wanna put pressure on the quarterback. And obviously he knows that they have holes in that defense. They have trouble stopping the run. So that's gonna be first and foremost, yo, we gotta come out and stop the run and make the Eagles offense one dimensional, especially when you got a young quarterback back there. So they wanna put the pressure on the quarterback, make him win the game. But the Eagles on the other hand has to come out and establish the run, take pressure off the quarterback. You know, put some drives, sustain some drives, be productive in the red zone, even if you would come away with 3. Now, too many field goals ain't going to help you against that offense. But, you know, if you have sustainable drives and you're putting points on the board, that helps the confidence of your offense, that helps the confidence of your young quarterback, and then you can try to kind of build off that momentum.
What's Andy Reid telling his team about coming to Philadelphia? You played for Big Red a number of years.
Hey, you going? He's telling guys, you're going in hostile territory. Their fans are passionate. Some of the best fans in the National Football League. You're going to be in for a dogfight there at home. And so you better strap up and come ready to play.
Do you still get a lot of calls or text messages from family and friends down in Texas after the Cowboys put a whipping on the Eagles like they did last night? Do you still have to take a lot of heat from fans back home, people back home?
Well, fortunately, most of my immediate family, they all converted to Eagles fans when I was playing. So,
okay.
So they stayed Eagles. They still root for the Eagles. So, you know, but I'm sure I got a lot of family that's talking trash and there's a couple of kids on my son's team that's Dallas fans. Not sure how they became Dallas fans, but they talk a lot of trash. I gotta listen to that.
Hey man, look, I know you live in Jersey, but you spent a lot of time down in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. And you know, and through the years, whenever I've tried to reach out to you to get you on certain platforms, you're always in the Dominican Republic, and I think it's an incredible story. Now, you said back in 2006, you started this construction company, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And first of all, I know you're building an awful lot of condos in the Dominican Republic, but take me through, number one, what made you decide to start the company? Number two, why have you invested so much in the Dominican Republic?
Well, it started back in 06, when 04, when we lost to New England in the Super Bowl. And I was pretty beat up about that. And my buddies wanted to just get away. Man, let's get away, get your mind off the game. So I came to the Dominican Republic for a few days and fell in love with the country. I saw a great opportunity here. And, you know, I prayed about it. Talked to my pastor about it. And I did my research. And, you know, I created a construction company and started building condos.
Now, when you say you're building condos, people automatically think, okay, he's building resort condos and things like
right.
that. But you've taken it a step deeper. I mean, this is you're building out of need for that country, correct?
Right. Yeah, it's over a 2 million home deficit in the country. And
2 million?
Yeah, 2 million home deficit. So I used to build middle income homes, and then. With, like I said earlier, with the government subsidies and stuff like that, I got into low-income homes, which is basically the same thing, just a little smaller. And they sell. As long as they sell, I'm going to continue to put them up.
So roughly how many condos do you think you've built since you've been down there?
Oh, man. It's I can't even count, man. I know the last project was just under like 1,500. That's just
1,500
project, yeah. So it's a lot, man. It's a lot. I mean, we put them up. We try to build them as quick as we put them up. You know, matter of fact, before we even put pen to paper with plans, you know, we're probably about, you know, 40% sold
already.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so all these people that are looking for homes, where are they living until people like Jeremiah Trotter can provide homes for them?
Everywhere. A lot of them live here in the country. A lot of them live in Europe. A lot of them live in the United States. You know, a lot of Dominicans go to the United States to work, and they want to build homes for when they retire here or for a family member or for themselves just to rent out or whatever. And, you know, whatever they need, we try to supply it.
Did you ever think your vision would take off the way it has down there?
Yeah, I believed it. I believed it, you know, after praying about it. And, you know, I believe that it would really, really take off. Just had to stay diligent, continue just to work hard and have a goal, set goals. And every year try to accomplish those goals. And, you know, in anything you do, you always have setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when the economy crashed, I think it was 06. We didn't feel the effects here until maybe like 6 to 8 months later. But when other construction companies was at a halt, we broke some of our own records for sales during that time.
Wow.
Know? So we were very fortunate, man, and feel very blessed that, you know, you know, through tough times, we've been able to sustain the company and continue to grow.
Do you already, or will you in the future, also build homes in the United States for needy families? Have you gotten that far yet, or no?
No, it's never something I never really thought about. But you know, now that you mentioned it, I may put some thought into it.
Well, if you do, can you hire me part time to be your PR man?
I got you.
Can you do that? Don't pull this. You know, D-Gun, I'll have my people call your people, and I never hear from you again. Remember, I gave you the idea to bring this to the United States.
No doubt.
You know, and D-Gun, you know, can you help me out here?
I ain't one of them guys, man. I ain't gonna forget about you.
Hey, look, when you played the game, you were well respected. You were a feared man. You were down and dirty. You got your hand down the dirt. You did the dirty work. You earned your money. Now, as an owner of a construction company, do you still roll up your sleeves and dig in, or do you sit back and just basically give orders now?
Man, I keep my hands clean, man.
You've gone soft in your retirement.
I try to keep them clean and well manicured, man. Them hard days and hard labor is over with, man.
Man, look, JT, I can't thank you enough for taking time to talk to me about the Eagles, obviously, and about what you're doing. An incredible project that you're doing down in the Dominican Republic, helping out so many people, man. You know what? God bless you, man. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. Obviously, God has given you a vision, and you've taken that vision, you know, as far as you can take it and then some. And I just pray that for you that it continues to just grow and grow until you said, okay, Lord, what else do you want me to do?
Right. Appreciate it, D-Gun, man. Appreciate you having me on, man. It's always great catching up with you.
All right, brother. All right, that's going to wrap up this latest edition of Gun on One. Hey, everybody, thank you for joining me. And as always, tell you, stay blessed out there. But more importantly, be a blessing to each and every person you encounter. Until next time, so long, everybody. Production of D-Gun Enterprises in Patterson Square Garden. Alvin Shabazian and Wes Pendleton are the executive producers on behalf of Patterson Square Garden. Lead producer is Derek Gunn. Associate producer is John McNeil. Sound design, mixing, and mastering by Alvin Shabazian. Original music by Weatherman. For more information about the podcast, visit gunonone.com. And please, don't forget to subscribe and give us a positive rating if you're feeling the show. Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.